Chapter 3. I waved to Frankie, who'd thrown the bowline on board, and I headed her out of the slip and dropped down the channel with her. A British freighter was going out, and I ran along beside her and passed her. She was loaded deep with sugar, and her plates were rusty. A limey in an old blue sweater looked down at me from her stern as I went by her. I went out the harbor and passed the Moro and put her on the course for Key West, due north. I left the wheel and went forward and coiled up the bowline, and then came back and held her on her course, spreading Havana out astern, and then dropping it off behind us as we brought the mountains up. I dropped the Moro out of sight after a while, and then the National Hotel, and finally I could just see the dome of the Capitol. There wasn't much current compared to the last day we had fished, and there was only a light breeze. I saw a couple of smacks headed in toward Havana, and they were coming from the westward, so I knew the current was light. I cut the switch and killed the motor. There wasn't any sense in wasting gas. I'd let her drift. When it got dark, I could always pick up the light of the Moro, or if she drifted up too far, the lights of Kohima, and steer in and run along to Bacurau. I figured the way the current looked, she would drift the 12 miles up to Bacurau by dark, and I'd see the lights of Baracoa. Well, I killed the engine and climbed up forward to have a look around. All there was to see was the two smacks off to the westward headed in, and way back the dome of the Capitol standing up white out of the edge of the sea. There was some gulf weed on the stream, and a few birds working, but not many. I sat up there a while on top of the house and watched, but the only fish I saw were those little brown ones that use around the gulf weed. Brother, don't let anybody tell you there isn't plenty of water between Havana and Key West. I was just on the edge of it. After a while, I went down into the cockpit again, and there was Eddie.
What's the matter? What's the matter with the engine?
She broke down.
Why haven't you got the hatch up?
Oh, hell, I said. Do you know what he'd done? He'd come back again and slipped the forward hatch and gone down into the cabin and gone to sleep. He had 2 quarts with him. He'd gone into the first bodega he'd seen and bought it and come aboard. When I started out, he woke up and went back to sleep again. When I stopped her out in the gulf and she began to roll a little with the swell, it woke him up.
I knew you'd carry me, Harry, he said.
Carry you to hell, I said. You aren't even on the crew list. I've got a good mind to make you jump overboard now.
You're an old joker, Harry, he said. Us conks ought to stick together when we're in trouble.
You, I said, with your mouth. Who's going to trust your mouth when you're hot?
I'm a good man, Harry. You put me to the test and see what a good man I am.
Get me the 2 quarts, I told him. I was thinking of something else. He brought them out, and I took a drink from the open one and put them forward by the wheel. He stood there, and I looked at him. I was sorry for him and for what I knew I'd have to do. Hell, I knew him when he was a good man.
What's the matter with her, Harry?
She's all right.
What's the matter, then? What are you looking at me like that for?
Brother, I told him, and I was sorry for him. You're in plenty of trouble.
What do you mean, Harry?
I don't know yet, I said. I haven't got it all figured out yet. We sat there a while, and I didn't feel like talking to him anymore. Once I knew it, it was hard to talk to him. Then I went below and got out the pump gun and the Winchester 30-30 that I always had below in the cabin and hung them up in their cases from the top of the house where we hung the rods usually, right over the wheel where I could reach them. I keep them in those full-length clipped sheep's wool cases with the wool inside soaked in oil. That's the only way you can keep them from rusting on a boat. I loosened up the pump and worked her a few times and then filled her up and pumped one into the barrel. I put a shell into the chamber of the Winchester and filled up the magazine. I got out the Smith & Wesson 38 special I had when I was on the police force up in Miami from under the mattress and cleaned and oiled it and filled it up and put it on my belt.
What's the matter? Eddie said. What the hell's the matter?
Nothing, I told him.
What's all the damn guns for?
I always carry them on board, I said, to shoot birds that bother the baits, or to shoot sharks, or for cruising along the keys.
What's the matter, damn it? Said Eddie. What's the matter?
Nothing, I told him. I sat there with the old 38 flopping against my leg when she rolled and I looked at him. I thought, there's no sense to do it now. I'm going to need him now. We're going to do a little job, I said. In at Bakura now. I'll tell you what to do when it's time. I didn't want to tell him too far ahead because he would get to worrying and get so spooked he wouldn't be any use. You couldn't have anybody better than me, Harry, he said. I'm the man for you. I'm with you on anything. I looked at him tall and bleary and shaky, and I didn't say anything. Listen, Harry, would you give me just one? He asked me. I don't want to get the shakes. I gave him one, and we sat and waited for it to get dark. It was a fine sunset, and there was a nice light breeze, and when the sun got pretty well down, I started the engine and headed her in slow toward land.